It's time for another episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't. For the shows that never made it anywhere near six seasons and a movie, you can tell by that music again that we are still watching Stella. I am your host, Brett Medill. With me, as always, co-host Sean Stewart.
Yeah, that is me. Awesome. So another yay fact for us. 97% of the time yay is used, it is for celebration.
Yay!
Yay! See, we just celebrated that wonderful yay fact.
There we go. So we're going to start today's episode with we're watching, of course, Stella, as I mentioned, and we are in this episode watching Stella's episodes 7 and 8. So we'll start with number 7, and it is titled "Girls."
Meeting? Is it just girls or meeting girls?
I thought was it meeting girls?
I thought it was meeting girls.
Then
whatever. Either way, they're getting ready for a Friday night on the town. And a nice little montage ensues of them getting ready, taking a bath. And
bathing suit. Yeah.
Yeah,
bathing Michael Ian suit. Black's wearing his bathing suit,
yep.
Which is a three-piece suit, of course.
Yeah, like the other suits that he was wearing throughout the series.
Yeah, have a bath.
But in a bath form.
Yeah, and they like to wear some wigs, and then they try to get dates.
And
they
perm them. And, yeah,
yeah, they get all ready before they even have dates. They get ready for dates, and then they're like, now I should get a date.
Now let's get dates. Let's call up our best women friends.
Michael Ian Black's hair, the wig that he is wearing, can best be described as Hollywood movie Indian chief.
That's pretty, yeah, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
I was pretty surprised that when he got on the phone to ask for a date, he wasn't, I'd like to invite you to my people's casino for
yeah.
a rousing night of blackjack and country music.
His hair was flowing like a majestic mane, that's for sure.
It was the flattest, blackest
yeah.
Mane I've seen in a while.
Me too. And I've seen a lot of manes in my day, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah, when you used to be a lion tamer.
Yep. Well, we won't get into that,
though. I can't even believe
though.
I did that. But they go, so they go to the bar. They're just like, screw it, we don't need dates. We're just going to...
We're going to hang out and
yeah.
meet some girls.
We can meet
whatever.
Girls at this country bar.
Yeah.
You got no problem. We're just
well,
going
to... It seems like they just bring the party down immediately when they enter, because as soon as they open their mouth, everybody's looking at them like, what are these weird business tycoons doing in our country bar?
Or they're just anti-Semitic.
That's possible as well. But, I mean, I didn't jump immediately to that.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
With the racial undertones that are appearing throughout this series, it's very possible. So, I mean, I guess it's true, too, because when David tries his hand after they start wooing the club, he does not have much luck looking for ladies and gets the excuse that... that they don't date Jews sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Like these guys, they're having some real trouble here. Elizabeth Banks does guest star in this episode. But fun fact, on the DVD, she's not even mentioned as being a guest star. Because when the DVD came out, she still wasn't even like a name that people knew. So she wasn't even like credited as being a guest star.
I don't know about that. It was like, what, 2005 this aired, right?
40-year-old
Virgin, when did that air? That aired...
2006 or 7?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I thought that was like 2004-ish.
I don't think
I could
so.
Be wrong.
Maybe.
But yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, her
Let's,
star
there's
was
no
just
sense
rising.
Bickering about it.
No.
They get in there and they win the crowd over by going all Coyote Ugly on that place. The crowd's like, yeah, I'm not sure about these business suit wearing mafas.
But when they start playing, they put in a couple quarters in the jukebox and start rocking on the bar.
Yeah, they hop their.
Everybody's on their side.
They hop their suited asses up on that bar and they start Coyote Uglying this piece.
They take their bras off, toss them into the crowd.
David Wayne has a super hot crotch. He's got to pour ice all over it.
All over his crotch.
He's got to ice his crotch. Maybe he injured it dancing.
Possible. He could have done like a spin on his dick. We don't know.
These guys love dancing.
It's true.
They dance in pretty much every episode, whether it's actually them
or not.
Stunt doubles.
Yeah. Lots of dancing.
Yeah.
And their dancing works for Michael Ian Black and Mike Cho.
Yeah. They pick up ladies.
They do. David has no luck, however.
No, none at all. Which is a flip, because usually David picks up ladies with no effort for no reason at all.
That's true.
So really, like, this...
comes with a big hit to his ego.
Is this character development, Sean?
Development as we're going to get with these guys.
This is as close to character development as we might get.
Pretty much.
All of it that is that all that we've known about David Wayne, the only thing that has distinguished him from these other guys is that he's the ladies' man.
And
all of a sudden, that's thrown into question. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore, Sean.
I don't know who I am anymore.
What world am I living in?
Where do I live? Brett, I'm so lost.
You know, I think that these three guys, I know where they all live. They live on vaudeville.
Oh, easily.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
That's, I think they're living in a modern Marx Brothers movie.
That's what they were compared to when they were, like, when they were relevant at the time in 2005.
Yeah,
they were compared as like a modern day Marx Brothers, which is, I'd say, accurate.
Yeah, I kind of wrote that down, but I was like, if I want to be really crazy, like a really crazy, wild fan, crazy person, I would say that these guys are kind of like a modern Marx Brothers. But people have actually said that before.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm not so smart that I'm making drawing conclusions that no one else has seen. The Marx Brothers has seen. Oh no, not at all. I just like I was just thinking like, yeah, if I want to be that's the crazy super fan compliment is to compare them to the Marx Brothers.
Oh, it is a compliment, absolutely.
Oh, for sure, it's ridiculous. These guys are crazy, but they meet these girls. They go out on a date, which is a cartoon picnic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're super in love by the time of the picnic. So, needless to say, 6 hours have passed, and they're super in love, and David is by himself.
Yeah, he's all alone. But the Michaels are there, manufacturing their perfect brand of smarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, what were they eating at that picnic?
They were eating some peaches and Melba toast, but it seemed like they were smothered in smarmalade because they were... They were all kinds of smarm in that scene.
Yeah, yeah. So
David just had to put up with it.
Yeah, he's just got to suffer through it. Because then, you know, after this one picnic date and they're in love, immediately they're all moved in. And the guys have, like, Mib has a family. Yeah, Black's got a family. And Sho's got his, like, girlfriend with her vitamin pill problem.
Yeah, just the worst relationship ever.
And, and Wayne's got to be... Didn't Sho have a girlfriend like that on an episode of Michael and Michael Have Issues as well?
I don't even remember.
I think he had like an abusive girlfriend in one of those episodes too.
Or
maybe I'm
you.
Just conflating
as far as
different
I remember,
projects.
Like he was just single throughout the whole series of Michael and Michael.
Okay. But they've immediately now there's all these people living in this apartment.
Right.
And then like so Elizabeth Banks has her kids there living with them now too.
Mib is teaching them how to shave and
they're just losing like but general. David Wayne is slowly losing his mind. And then biological dad shows up and he's wearing a suit that's like four sizes too big for no apparent
just
reason.
Just trying to get some kind of custody to see his kids. But he just wants something.
He's just looking so pathetic in his giant suit. Like he's literally like wearing his dad's suit in that scene. It's so weird.
And Mib is just trying to calm him down, and Sho and his girlfriend are having sex on the table while David's trying to eat cereal. Like,
so David's got to deliver the ultimatum.
Yep, he delivers them an ultimatum. It's them or me.
So the guys move out.
So they move
Michaels
out.
Michaels move out. Boom. It's over for these guys. I don't know, man. Like, it's just... The Michaels move out. There's no stakes. You're just like, what's going on? Who cares? What's going to happen? You know, so, the family life is no good for Michael. In one day of having a family on his own, he's got like a 50-year-old. He's got like a Randy Marsh mustache.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. It looks pretty much like Randy Marsh.
And he's just
he's
being
got a
he's
family.
Gets, yeah, and he's just catching all this bills,
kids,
and
kids,
like
kids,
weird kids stuff. And it's too much pressure for him. He's got to go and get
promotions.
Some smokes.
He's got to get some cigarettes. It's too much.
And Sho's just got all the abuse in the world raining down on him. He's getting beaten by his alcoholic girlfriend.
Because he wouldn't get booze.
But she beats him into going out to get booze. Yep. And the Michaels run into each other. And they go to reunite with David. Because they see the error of their ways. There's kind of plot for a second where it's like, the Michaels...
Hang on. We... took this way too far, way too fast.
It's only been one day. Let's go back with David. And, I mean, in that same period of time, David has lost his mind, replaced them with cutouts, cried in the shower.
Just the saddest montage you can possibly imagine.
And then when they get there, he has replaced them in one day with Jeremy and Adam.
Yep.
And he's Brian now.
And he's Brian. He's got a new life, new identity. And
what do you think
happy.
Brian does for a living? Because, like, he's dressed like a business casual Kevin James character.
Right.
And, like, he's just, like, polos and khaki shorts. what's he gonna, like, what's this guy do? What's this new persona?
I don't know. I mean, it looks like he just solicits outside of Old Navy, just the way that he's dressed. But he doesn't do anything at Old Navy.
He just stands outside.
He just stands outside. And
he doesn't like, even, like,
maybe hits on the women. I don't know.
Does he hand out coupons or anything? Like, he's not actually a staff member?
No, he
member.
Doesn't work there. He's just there.
He's like Jay and Silent Bob, but he's not even like a drug dealer. He's just like a guy who stands outside of Old Navy.
Just to like perv on the ladies that'll go in and out or whatever. And then goes home and goes biking and eats pecan sandies with his new roommates.
But when he denies the Michaels, you know, he...
It's pretty crushing.
But his heart softens real fast. He suits up and
he
chases
after them.
The error
of his ways, yeah.
You know, so he chases them to the airport. And he keeps them from getting on that flight to Rome.
He
but
does.
Jeremy and Adam follow, too.
But it didn't... That's true.
Well, I mean, the episode all ends with a cheerful reunion at the airport. And though David reunites with the Michaels, and though Adam and Jeremy chase them and get rebuffed, Adam and Jeremy still, you know, hey, the Michaels say, hey, why not you take our tickets to Rome?
Head on to Rome.
And Adam and Jeremy get to go to Italy, and they move to Italy, and they have a fantastic life with Italian transsexuals.
Did they move there? I thought they were just hanging out.
No, I think they're staying in
Italy.
They
ended up staying there with those transsexuals.
They're staying in Italy with their new, brilliant, amazing life with wine and cheese and mustaches and Italian transsexuals.
Perfect.
They're living the dream now.
Living the dream. I mean, yeah. First,
you think Michael and Michael wouldn't change places with them in a heartbeat if they knew what was at stake? They would. Michael and Mike. Do you think Michael and Michael? Do you think Michael and Michael would really choose David over that? I don't think so. I think
maybe
they'd go
for like
to Italy.
A week. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
They seem to get
happen.
Tired of everything pretty quick, even Italian transsexuals.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they'd be tired of them by like the next day.
Yeah, we'll give
easily.
Him these guys. These guys have very limited attention spans, it seems.
I mean,
and so
cares?
Do I.
They're
so brands. Let's move on to episode 8, Novel.
Yeah.
Where the guys write their own book, only to have it stolen from them by Janine Garofalo.
What?
That's right. That's what happens in this
How
episode.
How dare she?
We've all seen it.
Let's go into it.
Janine Garofalo steals the guys' books, passes it off as her own, to much, much chagrin.
And that's pretty much the episode, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it has some great silliness. It starts off with, let's go, and they just fall out of their chairs.
Right, yeah.
And they wrap up back to that same joke again later on
they
in the episode.
Do it a couple times, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really funny, a good physical gag. And, I mean, really, like, in the last episode, the only distinguishing feature of the guys was that David all of a sudden wasn't a ladies' man. You know, like,
right.
Mib was still a dick.
Yeah.
Show likes cookies. Like,
of course.
He's just whatever. He's
doing whatever he wants.
He's this guy.
But, yeah, we see Dave back into the ladies' man role in this
That's
episode
right.
when he seduces Jane Burroughs.
Played
by Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo. And, yeah, I mean, the three-headed writing team... is silly. Like, and then, Mike Black wants to get the Goat Singers signed by Janine Garofalo.
Right.
But yeah, so they go to the three-headed writing team, and they write their book about Michael, Michael, and Craig, the three guys.
The three guys. Something that they are very familiar with.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, you want to write what you know.
You want to write what you know, and they know three guys living in the same apartment.
What kind of conundrum does a sous chef solve?
Well,
like, you watch more cooking shows than I do.
Right.
So I feel like you have a better understanding of the role of the sous chef.
I feel like I want, like, I feel like I should know, but I feel like I don't know. Like, I think a sous chef is just, like, the second in command in the kitchen or, like, one of, like, the prep cooks or something like that.
Okay.
So it's not as an important role as, like, say, the head chef because people don't, maybe it's, like, less responsibility so they can, like, fit something into their schedule. Who knows what kind of
so does making so does making the character a sous chef raise the stakes?
I maybe
somehow?
Lower them. I don't know. I mean, like, what kind of we don't even know what kind of problem they were running into with this novel. So I mean, we're kind of in the dark.
I just
as
want
it
to
is.
Imagine any problem that being a sous chef versus a
Would
chef
solve.
Solves. Like, you don't have to worry about making the mortgage payment on the restaurant.
Or that, yeah, maybe that, like...
Or you, maybe if you want the stakes to be amplified by being a sous chef, it's like, well, you're going to get fired. The chef doesn't like you. You got to prove yourself.
Stakes have been raised double time.
Hey, the chef is thinking of opening a second location. And somebody's going to need to be in charge of that place.
Second restaurant. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay, so no, we agree. We agree that the three guys have a second restaurant in their future, and that's how you know.
And that's probably raises
the stakes for sous chef. Yeah, I mean, I imagine that the three guys take over their own Arby's franchise in the end, and and then fail miserably. I think that kind of dining might be on its way out, though. Maybe it's not the right time to get into an Arby's franchise.
You think Arby's is going out?
I don't know.
I don't think here's so. What Let's get into fast
here's,
food right now.
Here's what I've heard, Sean. I've heard that you don't want to get into fast food right now. What you want to get into is what they're calling fast casual, which is embodied by a place like Taco Del Mar, Subway, even like a Qdoba.
Something that builds your food for you.
One of the really competitors that's distinguishing themselves right now is Panera Bread.
Okay.
So I think that if these guys, if we wanted to update the three guys for 2015, we would have them getting them into a Panera Bread franchise. Maybe even each of them would get their own Panera Bread franchise. That would really start bringing in the ducats. Bringing in the ducats. That's my new catchphrase, bringing in the ducats.
Bringing in the ducats.
So that's my digression about fast casual. That was true, by the way.
Really? That's like marketed research material?
That was mostly fairly true material that I just regurgitated.
And you can check that out on littleshowspod.com.
You can Google stuff.
You can Google things just like us.
I like that. But I really wanted to know what being a sous chef might solve.
I think we figured it out.
Yeah, I think we did. What does Janine Garofalo tell them? What was her advice?
It was pretty much to write what you know, and I don't know. Is there anything more than that?
I don't know. David wants his butt signed.
That's true.
And he loves books.
Well, probably not with his
penis.
Because that's true. He did deflower a book, but gross. At the same time, he didn't know what a book was. Like he asked Jane, like, "What's a book?"
Then that really begs the question: what did he deflower?
Well, exactly.
And then, did he commit a crime by doing so? Because if it wasn't a book, what did he think it? What was it? What was it? And I guess, though, if he thought it was a book, and you went into, if you went in, if it came to court,
it
and he
lived,
and he really thought it was a book, and they believed that he thought it was a book,
right?
Then that would make him an innocent man.
Okay.
So he probably
didn't. So let's say he set
a
kid
probably,
on fire.
I was just say, so he probably didn't abduct somebody's pug and fuck it.
Right. No. Yeah. He definitely didn't do that. We're gonna think
maybe it was like a bologna sandwich.
Yeah. We're gonna say he fucked a bologna sandwich.
Anyone like that's a mistake anybody could make.
Yeah. I mean, like you, one second you're reading, the next thing you got mayonnaise all over your hands. You know. I mean, like that's the worst. I hate when that happens. Like, damn it! This is a bologna sandwich. I thought this was a Song of Ice and Fire. Damn it.
That's like a really big bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
That's like, no one should eat that much bologna in a sitting.
That's like a Dagwood.
A Dagwood. It's just got layers of cheese and bologna.
Yeah.
Like chips and olives. And, ugh. You just got like
chocolate chips. What? Why?
You just got like a lumberjack sandwich from Safeway just filled with bologna.
I can't. The bun needs to be, there needs to be a more bun to meat ratio for me.
Yeah, the lumberjack sandwich is not going to work, right?
Not,
it doesn't
not,
work.
Not my cup
if
tea.
You, this is what you do, though. Here's how I'll help you improve it. Buy that lumberjack sandwich. It really doesn't help. You should just make your own because my version of it means you buy it and then you like take it apart and rebuild it. We have the technology.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, okay, here's what you do. You open it up and then you scoop out the extra bread material and you put the meat back in there and you add extra sauce and more cheese and your own vegetables. Put it back together, and you've fixed your ratio problem that you've so correctly identified.
No, I like more bun than meat is what I was trying to say. It sounded
There's
like you were saying
already so much bread happening.
That's true. There is a lot of bread on Dagwood.
don't get me wrong, I'll add meat to it too. I'll take away bread and add meat.
I'll buy 500 extra grams of cold cuts and just slap
it on. Spend 20 extra dollars to improve a $10 sandwich. Yep. I don't care. I'm a stupid person. What's that, a bologna sandwich? I bet you I can spend $30 on it somehow.
What's the About the Authors section like on this sandwich? Is it good?
Dare me to spend $30 on this hardcover bologna sandwich. Have you ever gotten halfway through a hardcover bologna sandwich before you realize that it's actually a Kurt Vonnegut book?
Yeah. Once.
Yeah, me too.
It was all right.
It's a fairly common experience, as I've been led to believe. But so they write their book, and as soon as they've become authors, I mean, the instant that David goes with the manuscript to show it to Jane Burroughs, the Michaels immediately become the most pretentious author types
just
that you can imagine.
Biggest douche holes.
Just the most cartoony, pencil-stashed, flavor-savor-wearing, like, yep. Beret and pipe-smoking, just awful.
Just the worst imaginable hipsters you could imagine.
Just the most beatniky bullshit you can think of.
And who runs into them but the girls?
The girls who haven't been seen.
We haven't seen them in a couple episodes, yeah. Since episode 5, I believe.
I don't even remember what kind of feedback the girls give them. Maybe that they wrote a Idiot's Guide to Idiots.
Right, that they were stupid and dumb, but then they know Jane Burroughs, so they're the best.
So they must be the best.
So they win.
Yeah, they win by dropping a name. Just whoops.
Yep.
There's a name. Yo, no, we know that
book.
Person.
We know her now.
We know her. So,
deal with it. We're gonna throw our smug in your face.
But of course, then we find out that Jane, see, here's the thing, Sean. I don't know if David actually has become a ladies' man again.
That's true.
Because Jane actually kind of seduces him.
I forgot about that.
To steal the manuscript. Oh, so snap. Maybe this is character development, Sean. Maybe
crap.
He's lost his ladies' man powers
we finally
forever.
Finally get development after 8 episodes.
Oh, my God.
We did it.
It was too late to save this show, but we've seen, look.
We finally have
this
something.
Is 2 episodes in a row where a...
We get some more David backstory.
Where a category, where one of the... defining features of one of the characters has changed and it has remained changed. This is actual serialized continuity happening on Stella. Maybe.
Possibly.
We're going to have to reevaluate.
I feel good about it, though.
In episode 9.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling like this
I feel
is
good about it.
This is progression for David Wayne.
We're finally seeing some changes.
The Brain Man. So she steals the book.
She steals the book. How dare she?
And when they come back, she expertly swaps it with a bag of rocks that
the exact same weight as the book.
She pulls an Indiana Jones on David Wayne, steals the manuscript. And when they go back, she blames the maid, fires the maid, leave your shoes at the door. Leave your shoes at the door.
That's terrible.
The shoes are part of the job.
But then they find the book.
So when they confront her about stealing the book, she uses the classic baby deer distraction gag. And escapes with the manuscript.
Oldest trick in the book, and they fell for it.
To be fair, Sean, if you thought that there was any chance that you might have the opportunity to witness a baby deer...
I'd take it in a heartbeat.
You'd take it, and then you'd be like, was I fooled? I don't know. I could still see a baby deer.
I better check.
I'd better check for sure. I'm with the guys on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I have seen a baby deer once upon a time. Mm-hmm. Right? Many people that come from small towns have seen a baby deer.
I've definitely seen my share of baby deer in my time.
But it has been a while, and I could use, Sean, the lightness in my soul that a baby deer, that locking eyes with a baby deer would bring to me.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that takes your heart and punches it up into the clouds. Baby deer will kick your heart right into the heavens. That's right.
You know, you could thank for not seeing a baby deer in a long time. What? You thank Urban Sprawl for that.
Thanks, Urban Sprawl.
Thanks, Obama.
You're the best.
How dare you make more houses for people? You don't even run things here. Like, come on. What's your problem?
Politics Corner with Sean Stewart, a guy who doesn't know anything about... That's good.
I know dick about politics!
Every once in a while, we should have Sean comment on politics during this show.
I'll make a jingle.
That's supposed to be timeless. Yeah, yeah, a jingle. That sounds like a good idea. Well...
So, she goes... Well, first they rewrite their book in hopes of getting it published before Jane gets it published.
Right.
But Mike just kind of... Mike Showalter just kind of throws it into the fire.
Hey, he likes to kill his darlings. You know, he takes that seriously. And
yeah, definitely.
He's just kind of a self-destructive guy.
But they see Jane on her way to get it published, and they ensue into a rickshaw chase.
Like you do.
Like you do.
They follow her underground.
They follow her underground, throw baloney in her face.
And weaponized baloney. The oldest trick in the book.
Oldest trick in the book. Duct tape some baloney to your back.
Did he
just threw it out.
Did he throw like a was it a hardcover book or was it baloney? I couldn't tell. Was it baloney? Oh, it was baloney.
I didn't
this
get
time,
a good
right?
look, but it might have been. I'm pretty sure it was baloney.
It looked like baloney, but it could have been a hardcover book.
That's true. I never thought about that.
I get mixed up all the time.
It's hard.
And like a hardcover book definitely would have taken her down. Either way, she gets taken down.
Yo, yeah.
Baloney.
But she still
book.
Gets away though. She still gets away with the book, and pretty much destroys their rickshaw. Because they can't use it. It's out of order now.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to take a chance.
I mean,
it
could have been a sign. Who knows?
You don't want to take a chance with a potentially out of order rickshaw.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. Would you?
That's a real roll of the dice, Sean.
That dice you do not want to roll.
No, I mean, my stepbrother is an actuary, and he would be very disappointed in me if I had used, crossed his table that way.
And if you didn't claim it either, yeah, that would have been trouble.
You don't
especially
want to do
if
that.
You,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Bad news all around.
So, but it kind of turns out well for the guys in a nice little deus ex machina, because a year later, when the three guys finally comes out and they have a little shindig, they go to confront her, but the reviews come in time, and the reviews are bad.
Really? Were they?
Yeah.
I mean, the first couple lines she was reading sounded great, and I mean, the word giant duty bomb was in it.
Hey.
We have all the hits.
I know, Sean. I know. It doesn't make much sense. It doesn't make much sense.
It had
giant duty bomb. It had three guys. It had a sous chef. I don't know what else anyone could want, except maybe a bologna sandwich.
That's true.
Let's play a game, Sean.
Didn't have that.
Let's play a game.
Okay, let's play a game.
I want to play spin-off salad with you.
Spin-off salad.
If we could spin off... Like, I don't think that we're going to spin off any of the three main characters, but if you...
It'd be kind of hard.
But if you were to look at all of the different people that we've met in the course of Stella over the first 8 episodes, which one of them would you most like to give spin-off into their own show?
That's a good question.
Think back. There's the mountain man / ranger.
I don't know if that'd make a good show. You know what? I'm going to go with Joe Latruglio and Paul Rudd's duo of terribleness.
Oh.
And let's follow them with the big account. Let's do a little prequel. See what they had to deal with for the big account.
Yeah. You want to get like a prequel series about the big account?
Yeah.
This is called... It's like a documentary series called The Big Account,
right?
Where Greg and Ansel are chasing after the big account,
popping peanuts and whatnot.
Yeah, and in the end, they finally they get it.
Yeah, let's see where that can take us.
That'd be pretty good. Like, do they have families, or are they driven men?
No, they're single.
They're single driven men.
On the town. Yeah.
Yeah, so like they're playing the field, so we get to see them like they're hustling at work, but then they're also like they're playing and they're having fun. And they play hard too.
We cut to shots of Amy crying at her desk sometimes.
Right.
They'll be bossing her around anyway. So
that's right.
So it's all good.
And whenever we see her, we're like, that's Amy from Stella.
Yep, exactly.
She lives next to the guys.
No, she lives under them.
Well, under them. That's next to them.
She lives
in my mind.
Under them.
She lives
under, not over, not next.
She lives one unit away from the guys.
Okay, I'll accept that.
But I like this.
Greg and Ansel in the big account. How about yourself?
Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to turn this around on me.
Well, of course I'm going to.
Let's give it to Janine Garofalo.
Garofalo?
Yeah, I don't want to watch her write her book, though. I want to watch the time in between books where she's, wrestling with all the pressure.
Okay.
And she's like...
And it's just getting too much for her. She starts
falling apart.
And I'm about to break!
That's right.
And Linkin Park is just 24/7.
Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit are the soundtrack to the Janine Garofalo show.
Maybe some POD.
It's called Break Stuff.
Just to shake things up.
Break Stuff, starring Janine Garofalo as a novelist.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right?
I'm down for that.
Yeah. Angry novelist and break stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm a genius.
So needless to say, Jane Burrow's career is ruined.
Yeah.
And the guy's write another book.
Like you do.
About that experience. So there we go.
Write what you know.
Episode 7 and 8 wrapped on up.
MVP, Sean.
For me, I'm going to go with David Wayans. No contest.
Why?
Well, when he's meeting girls, he says quite possibly the best, worst pickup line in the history of ever with, hey, you remind me of fast food because I want to take you out. And then I want to eat you in my car. Which shouldn't work on any level and doesn't, thankfully. But just the fact that he says that is the best thing that ever happens.
That's absurd enough to get your vote.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to David Wayne as well. But because of the tantalizing possibility of character development.
And yeah, that's true as well.
That's why I'm giving it to him. Because he's exhibiting change in the House of Flies.
Finally. Getting all Deftones on that.
That's right.
Getting all White Pony.
Hey, if you're going to bring it into like the weirdo metal area with your Linkin Park,
well,
and
I just
such,
thought
I'm going to do some weirdo metal references too.
I suppose. I'm down for.
Let's put on our suits and take a digital bath
in
this podcast. That's it for the little shows that couldn't.
That's it.
We've got one more episode of Stella before Sean will eulogize the series,
yep.
And we will move on to the next one way back in the 1980s. So, yeah, Little Shows That Couldn't, at Little Shows Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep.
Sean can be found at Sean Stewman.
Yep.
I'm Brett Mad. And
yep.
LittleShowsPod.com. Let us know you're out there. Boom, boom, pow. Smell it.